Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly. It's Thursday, October 27, 2022. This is the Cutting Edge program Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly and I have been bringing you since 2003. And no, we're not heard on Wednesday evenings on WWCR. You can hear us on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on a frequency of 4.840 megahertz, repeating on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on 7.490, and once more on Monday afternoons, 4 p.m. on 9.350 megahertz. We can also be heard on Global Star, Liberty Works Radio Network, that's LWRN.net, KstarTalkRadio.com, and KingdomStarRadio.com. Check these websites for days and times. Elizabeth, it's hard to realize we're at the last Thursday in October, nearing Halloween.
Yes, Lou, and tonight the Divided Kingdom radio program is completing our series of ominous October broadcasts. You'll want to refer friends, your family members, church members, your pastor, to our listening archives. We've had some very crucial, powerful information this month. Go to DividedKingdomRadio.com to our listening archives and hear the ominous October past programs. Also, look under Breaking News for our extremely vital essays, our radio monologues for this month. Check out September's, too.
We need your help to stay on the air. We also thank a few of you who have helped us with checks to WWCR or cash or money orders. And we still need more help.
Yes, Lou and I are still in the same dire financial crisis situation of great radio work debt. And if the Lord leads you to help the two of us carry this burden that we've carried alone, except for one woman's monthly donation through the years, we would be grateful. And we are so grateful to a number of you who helped us to be able to stay on the air into November. And so now, remember, listeners, you have no commercials to annoy you and distract you and to keep you from getting all the information like we give you. We only have one sponsor, and that is God. And as he guides you, his people, then you help us. And so it's really important to know that you can send whatever you can to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And at this time, a check written out to Global Star Communications would be the most helpful thing of all. And if you would prefer, you can write a check to WWCR. You can send money orders. You can even send them anonymously. You can put some cash in an envelope. To you, it might seem like $10, $5, or $20 isn't much. But if five or six people send it, it will help us greatly. So again, we thank you. And again, that address is Lou Caverly at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now we go right into ominous October. Silly reprobate mind and Satan's Halloween death head agenda. We're looking now at the columnist, Susan Estrich, who was from Brooklyn, I believe, originally. This was October 21st, 7:15, gas in California. 7:15 is not the time. It's the price for a gallon of high test in California. They even advertise it. Forget spending $100 to top off the tank. You'll need more. Who's going to win the midterms, my friend asks from the back seat. I look out the window. Another gas station, same price. Does the Donald Trump of it all, the election deniers, the January 6th hearings, the challenge to democracy, offer the $7.15 a gallon at the pump? Conventional wisdom says the party in power loses in the midterm and loses badly if the economy is in trouble. Too many Republican nominees have been unwilling to stand up against the extraordinary violence on January 6th that was a direct attack on the democratic process. Unlike the price of gas, these are issues within the direct control or at least the influence of the candidates. Are you for or against Roe v. Wade? Did you support the January 6th invasion of the Capitol and all that followed? If, like most Americans, you support Roe, will you support a candidate who opposes it? If, like most Americans, you oppose what went on at the Capitol on January 6th, will you support a candidate who refuses to condemn that conduct? Gas prices are an easy excuse to vote Republican. But really, does anyone honestly think the price of gas would be cheaper if Trump were president? I have a new game for people who tell me they are, quote, disappointed with Biden. I ask for specifics. Exactly what has he done that he shouldn't have done? Exactly what should he do that he hasn't done? It's a showstopper. It's easy to criticize Biden by saying he's old. So what? Has he done anything that a younger Biden would not do? I think not. It's easy to criticize Biden by saying he's not as engaged as Trump was. He doesn't tweet every day, or at least say things that get our attention. So what? What's hard is coming up with what Biden should have done or should do now. I wish I had the answer. The truth is, there might not be one.
The silly reprobate mind that believed COVID-19 clot shots were beneficial not only was guided into error by satanic spiritual darkness, but was also bullied by all those institutions in society that my mate and colleague Elizabeth says have gone bad. Here we have from Natural News, Judicial Watch unearthed HHS records showing that massive propaganda campaign was launched to push COVID vaccines.
And Lou, before you get into that, it's so important, but you know, when Susan Estrich put out her little thing of what could Biden have done that he didn't do, you had a lot of it on your mind, didn't you? Number one, bam, was Afghanistan. What about that?
Well, he could have had a wise and careful withdrawal from Afghanistan instead of this rushed thing that left Americans behind, it left allies behind, and it left things wide open for the Taliban. And who knows how many Al-Qaeda operatives are training there right now.
And what about going into the oil reserves?
Well, from day one, he said he was at war with the oil companies, with the American oil industry, and he's persisted in doing that. He's draining down the strategic oil reserve of this country, which should be there, like the name says, as a reserve, not just everyday use. And he refuses to allow more leases, more drilling by Americans. Yet he'll go begging to Venezuela, to Saudi Arabia. In fact, as we were going to record this program, I heard on the news that a Saudi official was warning Biden that this taking oil out of the strategic reserve could result in very damaging things in the months to come.
And what about him setting the dogs loose with the FBI and the DOJ, them going after patriots like Mike Lindell when he was driving up to the Burger King in Mankato, Minnesota? And what about all these FBI swarming in on that pro-life man with his little children in his home? And what about Biden changing the wiretapping laws and tightening the police state, the Gestapo coming after us?
That's right. He's making it more and more like Nazi Germany or Stalinist Russia every day. We could fill up a whole program if we hit the time, and just on Biden alone and his, well, he's just either mistakes or just evil.
Yes, we could. And, you know, if we were wanting to cut our own throats, we could have presented an article, and we're not saying this is true. We're just telling you there is an article that talked about the mob connections with Biden and with Jill Biden. Her father had an anglicized name, but there were questions about even the death of Biden's first wife while he and Jill were involved. So there are a lot of things that we are not going to bring to you. You can hunt for this, and we're not saying. There are a lot of wild rumors. Susan Estrich would say, was just the wildest rumor that Michelle Obama was really Michael Obama. You know, there are lots of things going on that we don't get into. However, we are going to draw the line when we talk about John Podesta. There was spirit cooking from everything that we can document. There are terrible evils. Those little children on the border being drugged, the trafficking of humankind. But, you know, we really do value you listeners, and you have written us notes of encouragement that we tell the truth and we are standing for our Lord. And it's not always easy, but it is glorious knowing that we will not meet our Savior someday and have him say, "Why didn't you answer the call when I told you I wanted you to be watchpersons?" We aren't going to have that. So now, Luke, give us the headline again of your article. We're going to just see how the people of the world have been bamboozled by the media, the sold-out, corrupt, lying dogs there, as well as those pastors who are talked about sleepy, lying dogs in the Bible.
Yes, it says, Judicial Watch unearths HHS records showing that massive propaganda campaign was launched to push COVID, quote, vaccines, unquote. This appeared Friday, October 7th, was written by Ethan Huff of Natural News. Contained within the 249 pages of documents that Judicial Watch just obtained from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, are the plans the government used to launch a massive media propaganda campaign in promotion of Wuhan coronavirus vaccines. A Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch accused the federal agency of failing to answer a request for records on April 19, 2021, relating to Joe Biden's, quote, COVID-19 Community Corps, unquote, program. That corps, which was launched the very same month, is said to have had about 17,000 members, and I guess still has them. It is a program run by the HHS and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, to spread, quote, science-based information, unquote, to various community organizations and everyday Americans to, quote, empower them to fight COVID-19 and promote vaccinations, unquote.
Let's just interrupt that article right now. We have that update that the CDC has approved the COVID vaccine for the childhood vaccine schedule. What's going to happen? We are seeing that some good governors are not going to force this onto children to be able to attend school. We'll be reporting more on that a little later on in this program or the next program. Go ahead, pick up that story. But we know the CDC is that Jesuit arm because the founder of it went to Marquette University, which was a Jesuit research university. What kind of research? Was that something like a harbinger of gain of function? We don't know, but go ahead. This whole group there was set up, this name the thing again that was going to spread all this information that COVID shots were okay.
Yes.
What was the name of this?
The name was COVID-19 Community Corps.
Hmm.
And here are some of the members. Advanced Health Equity, American Association of Nurse Practitioners, American Academy of Pediatrics, American Academy of Family Physicians, American College of Physicians, American Lung Association, American Medical Association, American Medical Student Association, American Medical Women Association, American Nurses Association.
Why, Lou, it's a takeover of the whole medical establishment.
Yes, you said it. That's true. American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, American Public Health Association, Chicagoland Vaccine Corps Partnership, COVID Collaborative, Infectious Disease Society Association, Mobile Healthcare Association, National Association of Community Health Centers, National Council of Urban Indian Health, National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, Planned Parenthood, Protect Our Care, Vaccinate Your Family, and hashtag This Is Our Shot.
Lou, what would it have taken? The bureaucracy, the head of all this, somebody was in charge of instituting all this. Somebody high up in the New World Order, the 1,000 points of light that H.W. Bush was so fond of talking about, somebody had to delegate all of this to get done. Somebody at an immense power position, I guess, under Satan. It is really terrible. That college of obstetricians and gynecologists, they had come out with it was safe for pregnant women to take the COVID shots. It was absolutely safe. But what do we have now? We have Dr. Thorpe, that wonderful OBGYN and gynecologist, I guess, for over 40 years, looking at the babies injured. And I believe he's the one who said that some ultrasound actually showed some of the little fetuses calcifying in the mother's bodies after the shot. That's horrific.
It certainly
just
is.
Just horrific. Well, go on with this kind of a massive propaganda enterprise.
That's right, and we haven't heard the half of it yet. Ethan Huff goes on to say, you will notice that Planned Parenthood, America's number one most popular abortion mill, is on the list of organizations that the federal government has been using to push COVID injections on the masses. Seeing as how Planned Parenthood's number one mission is depopulation through abortion, it only makes sense that the organization would also hop on board the Fauci flu shot train of disease and death, which is all these shots actually do. HHS and the CDC also partnered with the following sports and entertainment entities to push Chinese virus shots. Major League Baseball, MLB. Major League Soccer, MLS. National Association of Broadcasters, NASCAR. National Football League, NFL. Anthony Becht, Chester Pitts, Orlando Pace, the PGA Tour, WWE, that of course is wrestling, Anna Navarro, George Lopez.
And Lou, I have more of your same article. Government's public education campaign included creating an illusion that COVID jabs are popular at the, quote, grassroots level. A Judicial Watch press release states that the watchdog group wants all associated records regarding how these entities became joined at the hip to HHS and the CDC. This includes records on the application process, how organizations were chosen to participate, grants, and all communications between the government and said entities. Quote, these records show a disturbing and massive campaign by the Biden administration to propagandize and politicize the controversial COVID vaccine, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. It seems as if the entire entertainment industry was an agent for the government. Another one of the Biden regime's tactics involved placing a, quote, trusted messenger on the popular Joe Rogan podcast to try to make it appear as though even the, quote, cool kids are all about getting their DNA permanently altered with COVID, quote, vaccines. See below. One particular section of documents entitled the PEC, Public Education Campaign Plan, April 19th to May 31st, 2021, explains in further detail some of the other tactics that were used to lure more Americans into rolling up their sleeves. First, sending a vaccine engagement package to all entertainment, talent, and management agencies. Sending vaccine engagement materials to all media corp companies and show producers. Reaching out to major culture event producers. Reaching out to WCDT, believed to be the We Can Do This group, with branding and engagement ideas for major businesses and associations. Launching a community core business chapter. Starting celebrity share the mice events. Share the mics events. There were also various considerations made as to how to push more COVID jabs on darker skinned people who are among the least likely to get injected. At one point, the government considered reaching out to football star Tom Brady to request that he put together a video urging his fans to get vaccinated using his parents who previously had COVID but recovered as props. Hollywood comedy writers were even on the verge of being approached to embed pro-jab content into their content. Big tech also participated in pro-jab messaging from the government. social media platforms like YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat were used as bait to lure younger crowds into accepting the gene modification needles. Then we have Christian programming and evangelical leaders, some of whom were approached to embed pro-COVID injection propaganda into their sermons. Convene an editorial meeting with the publishers of Catholic newspapers and newsletters across the country. Example, America Magazine, Florida Catholic, The Catholic Spirit, The Table. Another line item in the documents reads, request a vaccination special with Christian Broadcasting, Netflix, and evangelical leaders, reads another. A complete look at what was uncovered as part of the suit is available at the Judicial Watch website. This is more than enough to indict everyone at the top of all the government health agencies, Biden and his administration, and dozens of others netted in this actual conspiracy. One commenter wrote about these new revelations, and I would have to add, what about the Trump administration? We can't forget, the vaccines are coming. The vaccines are coming. No, we can't. No, there's plenty of browbeating, ashes in sackcloth, remorse, if anybody could feel it. There's plenty to go around. But go ahead, Lou.
Hey, everyone, cheer. Halloween fun and games are here. This was Liz Simmons' headline on October 12th in the Stylecaster. 15 things to do in Salem, Massachusetts during October, especially if you are feeling witchy. Miss Simmons says she lives in Salem, so she is well-versed to be our guide as to where one can get a fortune told, shop like a witch, get your aura photo taken, and attend the Endless Night Annual Salem Vampire Ball at the Hawthorne Hotel. And our guide, Miss Simmons, says, number 11 on her list of 15 fun things to do, is experience the Witch Dungeon Museum. The Witch Dungeon Museum is a Salem staple. Once you enter the Witch Dungeon Museum, you are guaranteed some educational thrills. A live reenactment adapted from the historical texts will first draw you in before you head down to the dungeons to see how the witches of Salem spent their last days. And now this is Lou speaking, but whoa, her number 12 takes a deeper, darker travelogue turn. And here's her number 12, Give the Satanic Temple a Try. Hail Satan. Just kidding. No matter what your religious or spiritual beliefs are, you should definitely check out the Satanic Temple. Surprisingly, the Satanic Temple's beliefs are more about the separation of church and state, so you don't need to worry about any demons. Adorned with Gothic art and complete with a gift shop, the Satanic Temple is a must. And this is Lou again speaking. This must be the innocent as the Walton version of the Satanic Temple. Are you feeling brainwashed yet? Now, it's Occult October and people think evil is cute. Fun and games with Satan. Across the pond in the UK, they feel that way too. This is from Forbes magazine. Occult cocktails and tarot readings are coming to this iconic London hotel. This is by Leela London, senior contributor, food and drink section. October 18th, 2022. Tarot and occult-themed cocktails are coming to the Kempton Fitzroy, London. Those looking for an extra spooktacular cocktail hour this month may need to set their sights on the Kempton Fitzroy, London. Just in time for Halloween, the luxury hotel has not only launched a free tarot reading service for guests, but a brand new menu of 19th-century occult-inspired cocktails. And fascinatingly, it's not the hotel's first dalliance with the astrological. It's laced throughout the Kempton Fitzroy's history. Back when Charles Fitzroy Dahl was drawing up plans for this grand dame of Russell Square, ladies and gentlemen would fill the finest drawing rooms in Victorian London to spend their evenings laying tarot cards. Sylvia Pankhurst, Oscar Wilde, Ted Hughes, and more all had ties to the Zodiac. And in their honor, an ornate Zodiac mosaic was fitted to the lobby floor of Kempton Fitzroy, London.
And I have to interrupt you, Lou, to just give a little note there, because I'm interested in poetry. Sylvia Plath, the late poet who took her own life, put her head in an oven, and had two little children. Ted Hughes was her husband, who had left her for another woman. So, you know, he could sit and use the tarot cards all he wanted. But we can see the results of these satanic lives that people led when there are no moral inhibitions, there is no loyalty to a family. We can see all of this happening again around us, Satan trying to destroy. But go ahead. Who else was there? Oscar Wilde. And Oscar Wilde, I believe that he was, let's say, LGBTQ aware.
Yes, that's true.
Ahead of his time.
Sylvia Pankhurst, I'm not as familiar with.
I'm not either.
Anyway, the hotel founder had made an ornate Zodiac mosaic fitted to the lobby floor, a striking legacy of the late 19th century fascination with fortune telling, a legacy that extends to a specially made set of tarot cards for the hotel.
And I think it's tarot.
Oh, tarot.
We'll look
okay.
it up later. That may be the preferred pronunciation.
You know, I'm not sure.
And, you know, if I'm ahead of you, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
No, I'm very sorry. I repent because I had an interest in the New Age and you didn't.
Well.
So,
you
know, I'm very happy if you don't pronounce it well because I don't want to pronounce things that are now not important to me anymore, because Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I have renounced all that New Age stuff. Go ahead.
Yes, these special tarot cards for the hotel were designed by London-based queer artist and tarot illustrator Ari Wisner. And this is a quote. When I first visited Kempton Fitzroy, London, I was instantly inspired by the stunning architecture and the beautiful details throughout. With so many stories and visuals to work with, it tied in with the archetypes found within the tarot so naturally, says Wisner. He went on to say, it's been a pleasure to create this deck of cards and to capture just a little bit of the hotel's magic, unquote. In her deck, cards like the Emperor, usually depicted as an older man representing power and authority, is instead portrayed by influential suffrage leader Emmeline Pankhurst. And I'll just say that kind of answers our question there.
Yes, it does.
Whose home now forms part of the hotel premises. Wisner also references the hotel's resident dragon, Lucky George, and the Wheel of Fortune card, so named because Charles Fitzroy Dahl designed an identical dragon for the iconic first-class dining room staircase of the Titanic.
Now, doesn't that make you think? We're heading toward a disaster morally when we have these symbols of Satan, aren't we?
Yes,
the dragon.
That's so true.
I'm thinking about up there in western Pennsylvania, my late mother went to the Morrison's Cove High School in beautiful Blair County, Pennsylvania. That was the beautiful county that my ancestor, who was a Hessian, deserted in the Revolutionary War to live in, because he really wanted to live there. He wanted to be in America. And so my mother, a long time ago, went to this Morrison's Cove High School, and it was an area that had a devout belief in Jesus Christ. They still have a lot of churches. They don't all stand up against the evil. And there is a newspaper there, the Morrison's Cove Herald. And in the very beginning of the pandemic, it published my expose about what we knew at that time, about the military world get-together there in Wuhan in October, the year before the pandemic began in 2019, and it talked about a lot of things, so I was very pleased that the newspaper would report this. But things became corrupted, probably from all these results that Lou's read to you about the propaganda instigated against everything to bring out the truth. So that by the time of 2021, this newspaper would no longer publish any of my papers or essays or letters to the editor that tried to tell the truth about COVID-19. And they were publishing this thing about the College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists approving the COVID shots for the pregnant women. Well, I wrote again another letter to the editor, and it was ignored. And at this point, I decided we would not renew that newspaper when the subscription ran out, and I had done my best to try to be a watch person. But before it completely ran out now, maybe about a month ago, that beloved high school of my mother, the Morrison's Cove High, now, guess what the sports, the icon is? You know, we know about down here, Lou, the Redskins, the Washington Redskins. They had to change their name for political correctness, and it's never the same. Well, the Morrison's Cove High School, they're the Dragons. Now, I think it's fitting, as Satan is taking over. He's taking over, and if we don't wake up and if we don't stand up for the truth, then we're unworthy. We're unworthy people. So go back to this hotel. It had an emblem of the Dragons.
Yes, it did. And I should mention
and the Titanic.
Before.
We didn't even say that heading toward disaster, that's an emblem of death.
Oh,
Satan is not happy till people are dead.
Yes, that fits so well. I should mention, too, that I grew up only about 10 miles from Salem, went to college there. But in those days, I think they would have preferred to let the whole witchcraft thing die out. But now it seems to be big business.
Oh, yes, that's a little part of it. But we know that underneath it, there's something very ominous, because you're going to get to the truth about the Satanic Temple. What did this tour guide say about it? It was what?
Aren't you to that point yet?
Yes, we'll hear that.
Yes, a couple of other things about the Tarot deck. It says, the bespoke deck will be read by psychic tarot master and spiritual coach, Fionnuala Greenlaw Meek, and his team from the Wellness Foundry before being gifted to guests as part of the Time for Tarot package. The Fitz's Drawing Room divination menu includes drinks inspired by Victorian parlor games, including tarot, crystal gazing, and reading tea leaves. The cocktails, the champagne foam-infused Hidden Truth, citrus-packed crystal clear, and matcha-topped Ask the Leaves will be unveiled this Thursday in a one-night bar takeover. Fitz's presents Casa Noble. Of course, locals and non-guests looking for a mystical happy hour are also welcome to enjoy the drinks at their leisure. And I think we go to you next.
Yes, and I think then we'll pick up that story a little later about the satanic business.
Yes.
Okay, this is now from the Connecticut Insider. And the forbidden festivities, you see, Lou, are continuing. Haunted Annabelle doll is traveling around Connecticut this Halloween. Here's what to know. And this, again, was from the Connecticut Insider by Andrew DeRosa, October 12, 2022. After being locked within the Warren's Occult Museum in Monroe, making very few trips in recent years, the real, quote, haunted Annabelle doll will be visible to the public this Halloween at two different events. The first is October 29th at the Warren's Seekers of the Supernatural Paracon at Mohegan Sun. And the second is October 30th as part of a special Mischief Night presentation in New Milford. In addition to the famous doll, which has spawned its own series of movies, a number of other items from the Warren's collection will be present at these events. Ed and Lorraine Warren's Occult Museum is a hidden paranormal hotspot in Connecticut, housing some of the most haunted items, including a dinosaur toy from the Devil Made Me Do It case. The museum is closed to the general public. While the public is unable to enter the museum, these Halloween events produced by the Warren's son-in-law, Tony, are allowing curious fans to meet the famous haunts that have permeated pop culture. But questions may remain unanswered as to what exactly makes Annabelle allegedly haunted. What else is inside the museum, and who the Warrens really were? The Warrens Seekers of the Supernatural Paracon is a convention highlighting the investigations of the Warrens as well as the current state of paranormal research. Annabelle will be on display at the convention, as well as a number of other items from the Warren's Occult Museum. And, of course, we've mentioned the haunted dinosaur toy. Building off the Warren legacy, the convention will also feature a number of guest speakers with ties to the Warrens, including demonologist brothers Keith and Carl Johnson and A&E's paranormal state star Ryan Buell. The convention will also host more than 60 vendors that specialize in oddities and the supernatural. Who were Ed and Lorraine Warren? Synonymously tied with the world of the paranormal, Connecticut's Ed and Lorraine Warren are often regarded as some of the prolific paranormal investigators of the 20th century. For the better part of 50 years, the Warrens investigated supposed paranormal activity across the globe, including the famous Amityville Horror and the Enfield Poltergeist. Ed served time in the Navy during World War II, and upon returning home, studied art at Yale's subsidiary art school, Perry Art School. Ed and Lorraine traveled New England, attempting to make a profit on Ed's paintings. But along the way, it was said that the two would often make stops at haunted locations, which were often the inspiration for Ed's artwork. Lorraine was said to have been clairvoyant, meaning that she was reported as having been able to gain insight into cases through, quote, supernatural abilities, as well as a medium, which means having the ability to communicate with paranormal entities, according to NESPR. Ed was a self-taught demonologist and a devout Catholic. In 1952, the Warrens established the NESPR, which is credited as the oldest paranormal research organization in the country. According to NESPR, the Warrens conducted over 100 individual paranormal investigations during their time. Toward the end of their investigative period, the Warrens focused heavily on passing on their knowledge of the occult by hosting various lectures across the country. In 2006, Ed passed away at the age of 79. Lorraine continued to do the lectures on her own and served as a consultant on the first two Conjuring movies before her death in 2019. The real Annabelle doll is kept at the Warrens Occult Museum in Monroe, where it is behind a locked case with a sign made by Ed that reads, "Positively do not open." Though not quite as menacing looking as its movie counterpart, which sits in a glass case across from the original doll, Annabelle has a commanding presence over the museum. Annabelle is much larger in person than most Raggedy Ann dolls, standing at roughly 3 feet tall, according to Sparrow, and that was the son-in-law. Though they're not entirely sure if Annabelle is still, quote, possessed, Daniel Rivera, the senior lead investigator for NESPR, is the only person who handles Annabelle. He wears gloves that have crosses on them, as well as faint metals in the fingertips when touching Annabelle. When transporting Annabelle to upcoming events, she will be housed in a specially made protective box. In bringing Annabelle and other items from the Occult Museum to the upcoming The Warren Seekers of the Supernatural Paracon at Mohegan Sun, Sparrow hopes to allow the general public to have the opportunity to see all these items since the museum remains. We have a priest that's with the group, and he'll be there blessing the items once they get there, before they leave, and in the car. We're not stingy with the help, with the holy water either. Chris Gillerine, lead investigator at NESPR, said in a previous interview, "Now this is Elizabeth. Holy water? Yes, good luck with that, with the so-called efficacy of that. This couple, Ed, who was said to be a, quote, devout Catholic, and Lorraine, who was said to be a medium, that is, listeners, one who summons up and communicates with the so-called paranormal entities, that's the dead, contacting the dead. They were quite a pair. I'm personally sorry to say they had an influence on me, my later interest in New Age books and philosophy. For you see, as a young child, I avidly read the Sunday newspapers, and there were the supplements. And they and other paranormal investigators like J.B. Rhine were often featured in the Sunday paper. It was kind of like Parade. Perhaps it was Parade. I'm not sure at that time. Thank God that God taught me the truth later, the biblical truth, and delivered me from the New Age delusion. Just one more aspect of this Halloween reprobate mind."
A reprobate mind's use of the printed word to destroy children's souls and claim them for Satan is starting at a younger age, Elizabeth. than when you got caught up with Ed and Lorraine Warren in your Sunday papers. From National File, we have this headline. Exclusive. Five-year-old sent home from kindergarten with pro-trans, I'm not a girl book. The Virginia kindergarten student was sent home with a book directly marketed by the child grooming LGBT lobby. This is by Frankie Stokes, October 2nd, make that 7th, 2022, again from National File. A five-year-old child who attends a public elementary school in Chesterfield County, Virginia, was sent home from kindergarten with a copy of I'm Not a Girl, a pro-trans book about a little girl proclaiming boyhood. National File spoke exclusively with the child's father, who revealed that the book is being marketed directly to kids, and that the school doesn't require children, no matter how young, to receive parental consent before checking out sexually explicit content. Speaking exclusively with National File, the child's father, who will remain nameless for reasons of personal and family security, revealed that his five-year-old child obtained a copy of I'm Not a Girl from the Mosley Elementary School library after it was marketed to students directly as part of a promotional book display. When he contacted the school looking for answers, the father was told that the book is available to any and all students to check out. If parents wish to stop their children from attaining such books, then they must write the school a letter expressly banning their kid from doing so. National File has independently confirmed that copies of the pro-trans book I'm Not a Girl are available to children at Chesterfield County's Mosley Elementary School library, which lists the book in its public, accessible online catalog.
And Lou, we'll have to shorten it, but I believe that the article might say that these types of books were available as far back as the year 2004.
Yes,
which
you're
is really
very much
stunning
right.
to us. So we can see how Satan has been at work. And we're talking again about this brainwashing through media. And then we move on now to New York father desperate to save 11-year-old child from forced gender transition. And we can see that this brainwashing by these pro-trans books leads to this gruesome kind of a result, the Satan Death Head Halloween preparation to have murderous forces destroy children. Fun and games are over. So just a little bit of this here, Ethan Huff at Natural News, October 7th. A young girl from New York is at risk of being turned into a boy thanks to transgender desires of her mother and the state's medical industry. The girl's father is trying to fight for her to remain her natural gender. But everyone else seems to want the child to have her female body parts severed or altered. Now, Lou, this is an 11-year-old, and there is a court order that has decided that neither parent is allowed to talk to the child about anything gender-related, even though they are the child's parents. The court, in other words, has taken ownership of the child. And the article goes on to say that when the child was much younger, her dream was to be in a pageant. And by the time she reached 8 years old, though, the mother was brainwashing her. And the mother apparently, this is what Ethan Huff says, the mother apparently indoctrinated the child for more than a year, unbeknownst to the father. The mother scared her about growing breasts and bleeding from the vagina, which persuaded the preteen to agree to become a boy instead. So my child, scared out of her mind, says, I don't want that to happen. I will cut off my breasts, and I want to be a boy, the father explained about what happened. It's just a dreadful thing. Let's move right on to your next one, Lou.
Okay, once again, the Jesuits, the Jesuit arm of the Satanic New World Order, is revealing its true colors. From LifeSite News, Georgetown Med School disregards church teaching, promotes puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones for children. This is by Doug Mainwaring, Thursday, October 20th, Dateline, Washington, D.C., in contradiction to Catholic teaching concerning respect for the human body, Jesuit-run Georgetown University, the nation's oldest Roman Catholic medical school, is pushing puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and irreversible genital surgery to treat minors who exhibit gender dysphoria. In a stunning investigative report, the Spectator World's Amber Athey described how in 2021, Georgetown School of Medicine required first-year medical students to take a class in which they were told that these drastic, as yet not fully tested measures are the, quote, only way to help, unquote, trans-identifying people fix, and that word fixes in quotes, their bodies. Guest lecturer Dr. David Reitman, an associate professor in the Department of Pediatrics, who practices pediatric medicine at Georgetown Hospital, warned medical students in his slide presentation titled Transgender Healthcare that, quote, patients suffering from gender dysphoria will likely attempt suicide if they do not treat them with puberty blockers, gender-affirming hormone therapy, and surgical sex changes, unquote. According to Ms. Athey, the course falsely claimed that puberty blockers are, quote, fully reversible. In a subsequent interview with Fox News' Tucker Carlson, Athey said, the fact that this is happening at a Catholic school, I think, really speaks to just how deep demonic influences have embedded themselves in our culture. And she continued, I spoke to multiple Catholic ethicists for this story who made quite clear that this is inappropriate and a huge violation of Catholic medical standards. The Catholic Church, especially in its education arms, is supposed to be teaching objective truth and biological reality. The truth is that no matter how many drugs you pump into a child, no matter how many surgeries you put someone through, they can never be a member of the opposite sex. God creates all of his children with love. He doesn't create children in the supposed wrong body. Child mutilation is being encouraged at GU Medicine, the oldest Catholic medical school in the country. This demonic infiltration must stop. It's a horrific violation of medical ethics. The Catholic ethicist consulted during the course of Athey's investigation expressed grave concern that the prominent Catholic medical school was promoting treatments that violate Catholic teaching. Patrick J. Riley, president of the Cardinal Newman Society, told Athey, quote, the very reason Catholics sponsor medical schools is to bring the light of our Catholic faith to the work of health and healing, not to destroy what is beautiful and perfectly healthy. But teaching students to mutilate the body of a child or an adult is a horrific violation of medical ethics and the mission of Catholic education, unquote. And I believe this is a quote from the same person, yes. In many ways and for several decades, Georgetown University has repeatedly violated the mission of Catholic education, which forms students in both faith and reason. It flouts Catholic teaching without any consequence, and it causes enormous damage by its blatant hypocrisy, Riley said. And he went on to say, Catholic families should reject Georgetown out of principle and for the sake of those who might be harmed by studying there. And we have a quote from John F. Brehaney, Executive Vice President and Director of Institutional Relations of the National Catholic Bioethics Center. To teach future doctors how to help people engage in gender transitioning, I would say, is not ethical and not something that a Catholic medical school should be doing. He added, while you can't point to one specific Catholic teaching that condemns this practice, if you apply traditional moral principles about respect for the human body, both of protecting and taking good care of the body, and of not destroying, damaging, or sacrificing a part of one's body, except for a very good well-founded reason, then it would certainly be the position of the National Catholic Bioethics Center that this is unethical, unquote. And I'll just add, Georgetown U, a Jesuit stronghold and mouthpiece, Georgetown U, and the Satanic Temple seem to have something in common. They are far from being what they pretend to be, no matter how much brainwashing they do. And let me see, we go on now.
Now, do you have the Satanic Temple next?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, you must get into that.
All right. I have two different articles.
All right, just go ahead.
The first one is from the Philadelphia Inquirer, August 30th. The headline, the Satanic Temple is holding a fundraiser in the Pennsylvania school district that denied its after-school Satan Club. And it says, and this is by Una Goodwin-Smith.
And what number is yours there?
Mine is number 7.
Okay, and we can wrap this up rather quickly, that the school districts are being brainwashed into that they must provide equal opportunities to all kinds of religions, including Satanism. So I think they had had a Christian group get together, and so now they were going to let the Satanists take over. And then we have another one from Fox 59, Lebanon School District responds after granting facility use to Satan Club. And so this was in Warren County, Ohio. So there, I think, what was yours? It was in Pennsylvania, wasn't it?
Yes.
So here again, there's a satanic club, see, going to meet there in Ohio. But we've got to get to the heart of what the satanic temple really is. Now, you have more, don't you?
Yes, I do. This is from churchleaders.com, entitled, Satanic Temple Challenges Indiana's Near-Total Abortion Ban. September 26, 2022, from Indianapolis. The Satanic Temple is challenging Indiana's near-total abortion ban with a lawsuit that takes aim at state-enrolled Act 1 and claims the ban infringes on that follows religious rights and violates the U.S. Constitution.
Yes, and now we have to sum this up, that according to that, quote, religion, the fetus is nothing but a piece of tissue, and the mother is the all-important one. So they want the mother to be able to kill the child. We may have to get into more about the Satanic Temple. We may have to hold the rest of that. Do you have just that article on it now or more?
Yes, I believe that's the last of that group.
And now we probably will bring some of that back. But here we have to know, first of all, from National Geographic, a short excerpt from Inside the Irish Hell Caves, where Halloween was born. In the middle of a field in a lesser-known part of Ireland is a large mound where sheep wander and graze freely. Had they been in that same location centuries ago, these animals might have been stiff with terror, held aloft by chanting, costumed celebrants, while being sacrificed to demonic spirits that were said to inhabit nearby Nugget Cave. And now, this monumental place, you see, listeners, is going to be proposed to be a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And we know about that. That's the One World Order. And they want this for Rathcrawhin. And that's this place. And this is where Samhain was born, you see. Then the Irish brought it to America, and we had Halloween. So it's not good. And we know that we have a warning here from churchleaders.com. Halloween is a trick of the devil, warned Satanist turned Christian. And if we can't bring all of this to you tonight, we will pick up what Lou is telling you there a little more about the Satanic Temple. And so this was an article by Stephanie Martin, a little bit from this. John Ramirez, a born-again minister who strives to make Jesus Christ proud, tells CBN News he once sold my soul to the devil. He got married on Halloween in a, quote, demonic wedding, and baptized his 11-year-old daughter, quote, into the dark side. Satanism was his entire life, Ramirez tells Charlene Aaron. He breathed, ate, and slept witchcraft, trying to, quote, capture people for the devil by astral projecting and placing curses. When asked why he does not advise Christians to celebrate Halloween, even though trunk-or-treat events or biblical costumes, you know, are used, Ramirez says, I don't see how you can cheat on God, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Satanists don't come hang out with Christians on Good Friday, he notes. So why would you put your kids, your family, your whole eternity on a demonic altar? Why would you bring that kind of curse into your house and curse your family for 3 to 4 generations? Don't be fooled by fun aspects of the secular holiday, Ramirez warns parents. People from different walks of life pray over these candies, including witches. Then kids put that stuff into their bodies, pointing to the fall in Genesis 3, Ramirez says, Adam and Eve lost everything through one mistake. Though they were made in God's image, Satan tricked them with sin and changed their identity. So even if you dress kids up as Bible figures, observing Halloween involves, quote, changing your kids' identity. That, he adds, is the trick of the devil. Ramirez quotes Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, as saying, "I want to thank every Christian parent for allowing their child to celebrate Halloween, the devil's holiday, one time a year." The church denies LaVey said that. As payback, pastor harvests souls for Jesus. As a Christian minister, Ramirez now spreads his warnings about Halloween wherever he goes. Some churches get mad at him, he says, but, quote, "God told me to speak the truth." And, Lou, look at the very end about the Satanic Temple article. I think there's a paragraph that tells what they were trying to do with the Ten Commandments. I don't know whether you can find that. There's a little summation paragraph because they are working to help women get abortions in a ritualistic kind of child sacrifice murder.
Yes, I remember seeing that.
If you see something like that at the end of the article there, I think the last part of it, they tried to put up the Ten Commandments in several places. I don't know whether you see that or not, and
yes.
I think they read a
Here
little bit
is.
To us quickly.
This is actually from the article about the Satanic Temple holding the fundraiser of the school
okay,
in Pennsylvania.
Go.
It says, "No stranger to litigation, the Satanic Temple has lodged freedom of religion fights nationwide with tepid legal success over the last several years, including a push to fly its flag over Boston City Hall and bring a towering statue of the goat-headed Baphomet to the Arkansas State Capitol to protest a monument of the Ten Commandments."
Yes, so we can see there when that little travel guide person tells us the fun things to do in Salem to go to the Satanic Temple. That's a lie. That's brainwashing. Because the deeper undercurrents of Satan always come back to the death's head culture. And next week, November will begin, and we have a lot to say about that death's head darkness. We're not done with it here in October, but we are standing for the truth, and we're happy to hear that some governors will not require this COVID killer shot on the childhood vaccine schedule to be put into their states in order to attend school. We ask you to help us stay on the air and to pray for our strength physically, mentally, and pray for our souls. Pray for our protection. We pray for you, and we love you. And send anything you can to Luke Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. God bless you, and he is more powerful than the ruler of darkness. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Good night.